This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Are you ready for us to be strong? Are you ready? Are you ready for us to prove them wrong? Are you ready? Let me know you're ready to
evening, everybody. It is great to be back with you on Wednesday night, KLRN Radio's Grand Slam for Conservative Grassroots Talk Radio. Anyway, I don't know if I said that right or not. I'm just glad to be here. Before we get rolling, I just want to remind everybody coming up the top of the next hour. Well, you know, the top of this hour, top of the hour. What do we got? Next hour. FUBAR with PolitiBunny and Ordy Packard. And then you get Robinson and Amish. And then America Off the Rails with Rowdy Rick to nightcap you. So it'll be a fun-filled, informative night. Do yourself a favor. Get your drink freshened up and sit down. And, you know, let's do what we normally do here. We get grouchy for a little while. And, you know, I'm gonna try to end it on a positive note tonight for you. That's what I'm going to try to do. So we'll see how it goes. There was a letter recently signed by 83, not 85, not 100, 83 of the world's richest people have called on governments around the world to permanently increase taxes on them and other members of the wealthy elite to help pay for economic recovery from the COVID-19 crisis. Now, these super rich include Ben and Jerry's ice cream co-founder Jerry Greenfield, Disney heiress Abigail Disney, and others. But they are calling basically on governments to raise taxes on people like themselves immediately, substantially, and permanently. Which I don't understand because, I mean, I don't know of a government in the world, if one of its citizens said, I would like to give you more money, I don't know of a government that would say, no, we can't have that. You know, they find a way to take your money if you want to give them your money. So if they're so hell-bent on paying more in taxes, just stroke the damn check. The government will take the money off their hands. Now, I'm sure that they would like to have something set up so that this extra money goes towards this recovery, this COVID-19 recovery. I'm sure they want some kind of governmental slush fund, because we know how well those work, set up for this extra tax money. And, I mean, I don't know, you know, as COVID-19 strikes the world, millionaires, they say, have a critical role in playing healer to the world. This is what they said with their letter. They said that they are not the ones caring for the sick in intensive care wards. They are not driving the ambulance that will bring the ill to the hospitals. They're not restocking grocery store shelves or delivering food door to door. But we do have lots of money. Money that is desperately needed now and will continue to be needed in the years ahead as our world recovers from this crisis. Now, look, I mean, I get the idea of what they want to do here. And I think that the base idea of them wanting to give more money to help with the recovery is a good thing. Should it be forced on the ultra rich who don't want to give extra money? You know, I'm sorry. I don't think it should. I don't think it should. You know, if taxation is theft, it's that way for the rich and the poor. So the group warned that the economic impact of coronavirus will last for decades. I don't know about that. And could push 500 million or more people into poverty. Among those adding their names to the letter were Sir Stephen Tyndall, the founder of the Warehouse Group and New Zealand's second richest man. He's their second richest man, and he's only worth $475 million. The British screenwriter and director Richard Curtis and the Irish venture capitalist John O'Farrell, who made millions investing in Silicon Valley tech companies. Millions, I tell ya, millions. So they say that the problems caused by and revealed by COVID-19 can't be solved with charity, no matter how generous. Government leaders must take the responsibility for raising the funds we need and spending them fairly. When has anybody ever known the government to fairly raise taxes and then turn around and fairly spend the money in the right places? Anybody looking for a show of hands? Chat room, I'm having a little trouble getting in there. I know you're there, and I appreciate you in there. I'm sure there were some hands raised in the chat room on that. As soon as I get in there, I will say hello. The second laptop is kind of acting up right now, so I'm working on it. Just bear with me. But the group released this letter ahead of this weekend's G20 finance ministers and central bank governors meeting. They called on politicians to address global inequality and acknowledge that tax increases on the wealthy and greater international tax transparency are essential for a viable long-term solution. Again, anybody ever known the government to take money and use it wisely? Anybody? I don't. You want to talk about a great government seizing money and then turning around and using it where it wasn't supposed to be used? How about Social Security? Why can't they leave Social Security money in Social Security? No, we just keep borrowing from borrowing in air quotes from Social Security. I mean, come on, really? And we want the government to do more of this? I just can't imagine putting the government in charge of another huge slush fund. But hey, you know, that's what the left wants, is they want absolute power. So the number of super rich people, they say, continues to grow despite the economic impact of coronavirus and global lockdowns. Sounds kind of counterintuitive to what they're saying, right? Jeff Bezos, the world's richest person and the founder of Amazon, has seen his fortune swell, you'll like this one, by $75 billion so far this calendar year. He is now, and this is post-divorce settlement now, okay, post-divorce, he's already made his money back and then some. He's now worth $190 billion. They say there are more than 500,000 people in the world classed as ultra wealthy. And I'm assuming that what they mean by ultra wealthy here, because they mentioned this dollar figure, it says with fortunes of more than $30 million. I mean, I don't know. Is that really ultra wealthy anymore in this world? 30 million? I mean, it sounds like tons of money to you and me, but I mean, in the big picture, in this world that we know, is that really a ton of money? So much so that you want the government to hit you for an extra 35, 40%? And there have been repeated calls for the super rich to contribute more following the COVID-19 crisis. Critics have pointed out that while Bezos donated $100 million, which is a lot of money, that's over three times the measure for what ultra wealthy is, right? I mean, but they say it represents less than 0.1% of his estimated fortune. Well, you know what? If I were Bezos, I wouldn't want to just be handing people money and saying, let's use this for COVID-19. Okay, have a nice day. And I mean, I would want to know how it's being used, what it's being spent on. You know, there'd be a whole different thing. Would I be generous if I were worth $189 billion? Yeah, I would. To an extent. But again, I would want line item accountability for the money I'm giving. And, you know, maybe that makes me a snob that way, but I don't really care. I think that if I would be voluntarily giving the money to government entities or government as a whole, that I should be entitled to know where my $100 million, or let's just say I was feeling ultra generous and I gave $1 billion, I'd want to know where my $1 billion was spent, down to the penny. I don't think it's even something that should be open for negotiation. It just should have to happen, because I don't trust them. I do not trust government. End of story. I don't trust them with the money they get now. Why would I trust them with more? In the UK, the Labour Party has called on the government to consider introducing a wealth tax on the richest members of society to help fund recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, said this month, "We are saying to the government, look at the idea of a wealth tax. We certainly support the principle that those with the broadest shoulders should bear the broadest burden." In Norway, about 500,000 people pay a 0.85% surcharge on their assets above the value, of £126,000. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. £126,000 is about my house. So anything more than my house, I'd be paying extra taxes on. And it's not even that big of a house. The millionaire's letter was organized by the Patriotic Millionaires, Oxfam Human Act, Tax Justice UK, Club of Rome, Resource Justice, and Bridging Ventures. I'm sure these are all very left-leaning organizations, just for whatever. I just can't imagine right-wing organizations calling for more taxes. I don't know. It boggles the mind how these people think like that. They're just not in reality. Just pay the money if you want to give it. Just pay it. It's not that hard. It's really not. And, it might do some good, it might not. But again, I would want to know where my money was going. That's all I have to say about it. And that's not Forrest Gump talking. But anyway, swing it back even closer to home again now. That was an international story. It dealt with us and other countries. This story's like center home. Okay. Everybody's at least heard of Asheville, North Carolina, the Biltmore Estates and Mansion, gardens, all that good stuff. Lives in Asheville, North Carolina. Beautiful place. It really is. Their politics are liberal, generally speaking. Their city council makeup is liberal. But I don't know how the citizens are actually going to feel about this, because crickets. In an extraordinary move, the Asheville City Council has apologized for the North Carolina city's historic role in slavery, discrimination, denial of basic liberties to black residents, and voted to provide reparations to them and their descendants. The 7-0 vote came the night of July 14th. Councilman Keith Young, one of the two African-American members of the body and the measure's chief proponent, said hundreds of years of black blood spilled that basically fills the cup we drink from today. It's simply not enough to remove statues. Black people in this country are dealing with issues that are systemic in nature. That statement is true. And we'll get back to that in a minute. The unanimously passed resolution does not mandate direct payments. Instead, it will make investments in areas where black residents face disparities. The resulting budgetary and programmatic priorities may include, but not be limited to, increasing minority home ownership. You're just going to start buying people houses. Access to other affordable housing. Increasing minority business ownership, which is going to give, set up people's businesses for them now too. What about the people that worked for theirs? What about the ones that scraped and saved?
This is all about being fair.
Yeah. Well, we covered that one already. And career opportunities, strategies to grow equity and generational wealth, closing the gaps in healthcare, education, employment, and pay, neighborhood safety and fairness within criminal justice. So the resolution reads. Now, had an interesting discussion with a friend of the show this morning. It was a brief discussion, but Mulratty and I, Mo, we were having a short discussion about the root of problems and how nobody really wants to get to the root of problems. Everybody wants to focus on the symptoms. Let's hand them some money. That'll help. No, that won't help. That won't help. You know what won't help? They talk about criminal justice, fairness within the criminal justice system. What is fairness in criminal justice? Does the percentage have to equal out? Like, black Americans make up 13% of the country's population. So only 13% of prisoners can be black? Is that what they're talking about? Because if that's the case, what we're going to need is for somebody to tell the black community that they're only allowed to commit 13% of the crime. See, no one wants to address issues like that. Yes. There is a disproportionate percentage of black Americans in prison. But that's because there is a disproportionate percentage of black Americans that commit crime. We can focus on both ends at the same time. We don't have to be afraid of one. I'll take all the heat in the world for this. I don't care. I'd rather have the truth and be a little uncomfortable and work towards a true solution than to keep putting bandages on it. Now, they say that increasing generational wealth should be the focus. The resolution calls on the city to create the Community Reparations Commission, inviting community groups and other local governments to join. It will be the commission's job to make concrete recommendations for programs and resources to be used. Councilwoman Shanika Smith, who is Black, said the council has gotten emails from those asking, why should we pay for what happened during slavery? Her answer was that slavery is this institution that serves as the starting point for the building of the strong economic floor for white America. While attempting to keep Blacks subordinate forever to its progress. Now, we know this is already not true. This is a misrepresentation of history. Councilwoman Vijay Kapoor, who has often split with Young and Smith on police and budget issues, said she supported the measure for moral reasons, but said skeptics could look to the practical reason, data showing large disparities between African Americans and other Asheville residents. We don't want to be held back by these gaps. We want everyone to be successful. Yes, we want everyone to be successful, but you can't make everyone successful by taking from those that are and giving to those who are not. It won't work. The council allowed an hour of public comment on the measure. Many who were not able to speak before the vote waited for another hour-long comment period after, pushing the meeting late into the night. They say most were actually in support, but I'm wondering how many people of means that disagree are going to leave the Asheville area. And, you know, is this a city thing? Is this a county thing? I don't know, because it says city council, so I would assume that this would have to be taxes collected within the city of Asheville. Well, I could find my way to move outside the city limits and avoid having my tax dollars go towards things like that if I were so inclined. I'm just wondering how many people are thinking that way. Yeah, I don't know. Are they going to drive Asheville into being its own slum? Time will tell. But, you know, that's the Board of Commissioners. Okay, yeah, the Buncombe County Board of Commissioners is not clearly behind the reparations measure, though it has a 4-3 Democratic majority. So I don't guess this is the county. This is just the city. But the city wants the county to join. So there you go. That's what's going on in Asheville, North Carolina right now. So, yeah, again, I'm just wondering how many people will leave the city of Asheville now and take their money with them and leave Asheville sitting there, you know, holding whatever in their hands and thinking that they've done something great and not be able to do anything with it. I don't, you know, again, time tells us how it all happens. So we just have to wait and see. It's insane though. It's insane that they think they can just give money to people, you know, and give resources to people, and that's going to make everything better. You have to get buy-in from people that need to make an effort. And we're going to talk about the effort part of it here on the second half of the show, but we're at the bottom of the hour. We got to take a break, get your drinks refreshed, fluff your pillow in your chair, couch, wherever you are, and then get your butt back in it because we got 30 more minutes to go. So we're going to get Rick to push the button. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to get some water and we'll do this thing. So stay tuned. One, two, what you doing? I've been jumping through some hoops.
Wanna get my body loose, wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling, looking for a diamond. I'm trying, I'm fighting, riding in the rhythm now.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get more of the chicken you love with a delicious McChicken sandwich for $1. And for an extra buck, add a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities at participating McDonald's. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ahem. Gee, are you there? Gee, if you can hear me, we can't hear you, bro.
All right, I'm back, I think.
Okay, there we go. I was like, what the
hell? I don't know what was going on there.
Anyway, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome to Trainwreck Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Live radio. You can't beat it, right?
Apparently it could be. Anyway, apparently it could beat you from the sound of that owl.
That was pretty rough. That was a knuckle, but, you know, whatever. I'll take it. We got it working again. Man. Anyway, so... yeah, where are we at? Top of the hour, FUBAR. Then Amish and Robinson, and then Rowdy Rick, America Off the Rails. Stay tuned. KLRN Radio, every Wednesday night. All right, so We finished with North Carolina. We're going to jump on the interstate system, the Eisenhower Interstate System, and we're going to trek across country, and we're going to Los Angeles. And
hey, where are the white women at?
Oh, they have them. They have them. But anyway, there's this fun thing going on out there right now where you got basically the United Teachers of Los Angeles Union holding all the kids and schools hostage. They say that in order to fully fund the safe and equitable start of school in Los Angeles this fall, this is the teachers union saying this now, that in order to fully fund the safe and equitable start of school, they are demanding that politicians implement a variety of measures and funding at the federal, state, and local levels. These include a federal bailout of at least $500 billion for the schools, Medicare for all, a $10 billion wealth tax, and a $4.5 million millionaire tax, defunding of all police, and the end of all charter schools. How about that shit? In their July 2020 report, they come up with the cutest little names. I'm sure they think that they're clever. The same storm, but different boats. The safe and equitable conditions for starting Los Angeles Unified School District in 2020-2021. The union claims its members clearly want to get back to the schools with their students, but then asks, how can it do so given the broader societal conditions caused by COVID-19? I know the answer to their question. I've had a couple days since I wrote this up to ponder on this, but I have the answer to their very good question there. So again, their question was, how can the teachers and students go back to school given the societal conditions caused by COVID-19 and also protect its most vulnerable students and school communities? Here's how you do it, okay? I forget how many teachers they said they had. It's in the article here somewhere. I'm wanting to say that it's, oh, where is it? Damn it. I don't want to give the wrong number. Yeah, here we go. 33,000 teachers. Okay. So here's how I answer their question. So I don't know how many students are in the Los Angeles Unified School District, but you can bet it's a lot. I mean, 33,000 teachers. So if you just gave a number of, say, 25 times 33,000, that's probably a pretty good approximation given what elementary education levels are of pupil per classroom versus secondary education pupils per classroom. But anyway, all that, there's formulas for all that. I've done enough education research. Trust me, I know. That's a fair number. So if somebody wants to do the math real quick, I don't have a calculator in front of me. Well, I do, but I'm using my laptop and I can't use the calculator and see my notes at the same time. But anyway, 33,000 teachers. All you have to do is get off your sorry asses, walk out the door, get in your car, or catch the bus that you take to work and go. That's how you do it. That's how every other school district does it. And that's how you should do it. You're not special. You don't deserve something that nobody else deserves. And why do you hate school choice? I mean, really, you say you care about the kids, but then you don't want what's best for the kids. See, that's how it is. We know what this game is. The sad part is that they're being joined by the San Diego educators. So Demolition Man is already starting to come to fruition here when Los Angeles and San Diego merge into a giant metroplex. It'll be ushered in by the teachers union. You can bank on that. That's a good way to end the damn world. So the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States underscores the deep equity and justice challenges arising from our profoundly racist and intensely unequal society, states the teachers union. Now, mind you, these teachers are making $80,000, $90,000 a year out there. Yeah. Yeah, if not more. Unlike other countries that recognize protecting lives is the key to protecting livelihoods, the United States has chosen to prioritize profits over people. Again, a gross, gross misrepresentation. We can go back to my earlier claim about how a disproportionate number of Black Americans commit crimes. And while that crime number is generally accurate, they do commit a disproportionate percentage of crime. It is especially the violent crime that they are disproportionate in committing. The stats don't lie. That's all FBI crime stats. You can look it up on their webpage. I always encourage you to do your own homework. You know this. But they say that the Trump's administration to force people to return to work on a large scale depends on restarting physical schools so parents have child care. In Los Angeles, this means increasing risk, especially in Black and brown working communities. Why doesn't it increase risk in white communities? Do white working people not have children that need daycare? Are there separate daycares? Are there segregated daycares? Are you not allowed to take your child to a different daycare? I mean, I don't think that there's a daycare out there that says no Black or brown babies. And I could be wrong, but I don't think there's one out there that has admission based on race. So, again, misrepresenting what's actually going on. This is typical leftist propaganda. Bullshit. The report then discusses COVID-19 at length and how it has affected communities and students in the Los Angeles Unified School District. The report also details how COVID-19 best practices can be implemented in the LA public schools and what the role is of federal, state, and local governments. If the federal support category The first item listed, or in the federal support category, the first item listed is a federal bailout. This item notes that the LA Public Schools need nearly $1 billion a year to meet the needs of students with disabilities, and adds, many experts are calling for at least $500 billion in additional federal assistance this year and a commitment to conquer or continue support over the next several years to conquer these deficiencies. Excuse me. It's like my head's in a fog tonight. I don't know. So anyway, another item calls to fully fund IDEA. This is their Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Okay, that is something we've actually covered on this show before. And it's probably been a couple of years since we did anything with IDEA. But the feds don't fund anybody fully with IDEA. So what they need to do is scrap the act and rewrite the act into something else. It would be nice if they fully funded the IDEA Act across all 50 states, but they don't. They simply don't. And it's not this administration that doesn't. It's been every administration. Since the act was founded, one year, the first full year, it was fully funded. And it has not been funded fully since then. So every administration, both parties, regardless, have failed our students with disabilities. Then the teachers' union checklist demands Medicare for all. Coronavirus shows definitively why we need Medicare for all, claims the union. The boundless greed of the for-profit health industry, combined with this country's deeply ingrained racism. Again, everything is racism these days. Racism is a word that has been redefined. Now, the left has redefined racism to mean anything that they want it to mean. What they're really redefining racism as, and see, that's their perceived definition, is anything they want it to be. In reality, what they're redefining the word racism to mean is anything we don't want to work hard for, you should give us. Otherwise, it's racist. That's what it really boils down to. And again, throw all the heat on me. I'm a multiracial. I don't give a damn. I'll take it. I'll call a sorry ass. I don't care if they're white, black, brown, yellow, green, purple, blue, or plaid. Sorry ass people are sorry ass people. And only the luckiest of sorry ass people have money fall into their lap and make their lives a little easier for them. Guess what? When you're stupid, life's tough. When you're lazy, life's tough. Take advantage of the educational opportunities given. Make the most of them and make the most of yourself. And you'll see what I'm talking about. At the state level, the teachers' union wants property taxes reassessed, which apparently will bring in an extra $7.5 billion to $12 billion a year, with 40% of that money allocated to schools. You hear that, California? They want to go up on your property taxes. The union also wants a wealth tax of 1% on unrealized capital gains, which will allegedly generate $10 billion a year. The teachers also demand a millionaire tax, which would add a 1% surtax on incomes over $1 million a year and 3% if you earn more than $3 million a year. They say this would generate an estimated $4.5 billion. Can you see the millionaires moving out of California in droves? I can. I absolutely can. Maybe not over 1%. Maybe not even over 3%. But you know what? When's it going to be enough? When is it going to be enough? Because it's not just 1%. Or just 3%, because the property tax is done in millages. So you're talking about millages over there that's going to increase the percentage of property tax you pay. Now they want your income tax on top of your property tax. How long before they try to add a sales tax or a gas tax? How long before they come back to the well and hit that property tax again for another? Just 1%. It's just 1%. At the local level, the teachers' union wants to defund the police. The union explains, police violence is a leading cause of death and trauma for black people and is a serious public health and moral issue. Again, back to my earlier point, black Americans commit a disproportionate percentage of especially violent crime. But we don't want that policed. We must shift the astronomical amount of money devoted to policing to education and other essential needs such as housing and public health. How long do you think public health clinics and affordable housing would stay standing if there were no police? As for charter schools, they say there must be a moratorium on them, or privately operated, publicly funded charter schools drain resources from district schools, claims the union. And many have double-dipped during this crisis by taking federal small business bailout loans, even though state funding did not decline this school year. In addition, collocation adds students to campuses when we need to reduce the number of students to allow for physical distancing. I don't know what the hell that meant, but Seymour's hiding, so probably something he mistyped. Among other demands, the teachers' union wants more paid sick leave. Oh, for the parents of Los Angeles students, housing for homeless and low-income residents, and financial support for undocumented students and families. Now, at the report's end, the teachers' union states, as it stands, the only people guaranteed to benefit from the premature physical reopening of schools amidst a rapidly accelerating pandemic are billionaires and the politicians they've purchased. How about the children benefiting from the education they would get if you'd get off your ass and go do your job? Oh, by the way, there's that one little sneaky item. You know how there's always that one little coattail rider that everybody hopes that everybody misses? Yeah, the pay raise. Yeah, of course they want a pay raise. Of course they want a pay raise. An internal poll from the UTLA showed 83% of members in the union said that schools should not physically reopen on August 18th. Of course, we know that President Trump and his administration have continued to push for schools to reopen this fall. There are several reasons as to why. We're not going to get into a lot of those because we're running short on time. But that's what's happening in Los Angeles. And we're going to skip the other story that I have queued up to do this last little feel-good piece. We will do the Customs Border Patrol piece next week, I promise you, because I want to do it. It's a good story, and it needs to be brought out. But an endearing new movement of neighborly kindness is putting a benevolent twist on the childhood game of Ding Dong Ditch. You know, everybody's played, you know, ditch it, ring the doorbell and run off. Yeah. So as a means of cheering up American communities during the COVID-19 outbreaks, mysterious groups of do-gooders known as wine fairies have been leaving booze and treats on people's doorsteps. The first Sisterhood of the Traveling Wine Facebook group was founded by a mom who wanted to spread joy by leaving bottles of wine on the doorsteps of strangers, friends, and neighbors. Hundreds of other wine fairy Facebook groups with as many as 78,000 members have now appeared across the country as COVID-19 continues to keep everyone 6 feet apart. The fairies collect the addresses of wine lovers in their communities and ask which varieties of wine they would prefer to receive. The members, dressed in wings, tutus, with magic wands, then tiptoe to people's doors, place their gifts on the stoops, ring the bell, and run for cover. They say it's all about bringing happiness and making new relationships, said one of the fairies, who brought the movement to her home in Raleigh. It starts off as a random act of kindness to a stranger and becomes a friendship with the neighbor you didn't know you had. Her North Carolina chapter of the group now touts over 51,000 members and has an additional 3,000 on the... There's a waiting list? You have to wait to be a wine fairy. You have to be approved. It was supposed to be just the Raleigh area, but now we are in 10 states, hoping to eventually launch in all 50 states. It's called the Sisterhood of the Traveling Wine, but the group is co-ed, and it's not just about wine. We want to eventually include children all the way up to grandparents, and they are expanding and creating alternative versions of the gift-giving group, including Brotherhood of Booze and Beer, and non-alcoholic versions for the kids. After the pandemic, she hopes to expand the idea to larger in-person social gatherings, including cruise lines, even reaching out to have cruises for the sisterhood. So anyway, that's a great way to end on a positive note, spreading kindness and cheer to people in your neighborhood that you may not even know. You know? Why not? Give it a try. What the hell? What could go wrong, right? So anyway, that's tonight's show. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome here with me every Wednesday night on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace!
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
To us. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.